Thank you for tuning in for Tune Up with Deb, heard across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association. Now back to your host, Deb Ross.
My guest today is Maury Dawson. Maury is a mortgage broker with Bayfield Mortgage Professionals, and he was just bringing us some information on the new first-time home buyers incentive program. And I don't know about you, but that was a lot of information, and I'm going to need that broken down again. So, Maury, take it away. Give us some more details, further details. But if you could review what you just were mentioning before the break about the new program, please.
Absolutely. So as I was mentioning just before the break, so 5% for the 5% if you're buying a resale property, 10%, 5 to 10% if you're buying a new construction. And that's by the way of an interest-free second mortgage that when it is paid back based on the shared equity position in the property with the government. So if you had 5%, you're going to pay back 5% of the value of the property at the time you sell the property, or if you do a refinance and you want to pay that mortgage out, you're going to pay back 5% of the value. So if the property goes up, yes, you're going to share in the increase in equity. However, if for some reason the property values go down, you will, again, only have to pay back 5% of the value. So if we use that same scenario of a $400,000 purchase, if down the road the values come down and the house is only worth $300,000, you're only paying back 5% of the $300,000. You're paying back $15,000. Even though you borrowed the $20,000, you're only paying back the $15,000. You won't be on the hook for those additional funds.
Interesting. So how does this show on the title on the property? Because when you use the term and when the government uses the term equity share, it sounds a little bit like shared ownership. It couldn't be that, could it?
No, it's not. It's registered as a second mortgage, as the same as any other mortgage is registered. So you would have your first mortgage registered from your lender, and then you'll have a second mortgage registered by the government for their 5%. Sorry, go ahead.
So I'm just curious how this actually helps people. Like, I mean, I realize it's money from the government, but how does it affect the purchase of the house? Does it allow them to purchase a more expensive home than they could afford with their own money? Like, what are the effects of this?
Sure. So they may not actually be able to afford to purchase more. The biggest effect is you're not paying interest on that 5%. So you're saving the monthly interest cost of that 5%. So if you were purchasing a home and you had 5% down, you would have a mortgage for 95%, and you'd be basing your principal interest payment on that 95%. Whereas if you're purchasing a home and you're using this program and you've got your 5% down, but then you have the 5% from the government, that 5% from the government now reduces your overall purchase mortgage by an additional 5%. So you're not paying interest on that component of it. So it does save on your monthly cash flow for that financing of that 5%.
So do the government specific terms apply, as in does it renew automatically, or is there something that needs to be done in terms of a time frame term?
It will renew automatically. Repayment will be required if the property is sold or at the end of the 25-year term, whichever happens sooner. You can pay it off sooner, and if you choose to pay it off sooner, you have to do an evaluation of the property, so you have to have an appraisal, and then it'll be paid that 5% based on the value of the property at that time.
Hmm. So what about if someone wants to refinance their home and they have done that 5%? So, I mean, we are looking down the road a little bit because this is a brand new program offered from the government. But do you foresee some effects on the refinancing aspect later on?
It absolutely could, because there is one little, I don't know, we'll say flaw in the program. If down the road you go to refinance, the government will allow you to refinance. However, they'll only allow a mortgage of equal value to what the mortgage originally was to stay in first position. And I know this gets a little complicated, but when you refinance, or let's say if you have a first mortgage and a second mortgage, and you go to pay out that first mortgage, the second mortgage will automatically flow into first position. Well, we don't want that in this case if we're refinancing with another institutional lender, because they are going to require themselves being in first place. So what you do is you go to the second lender and you ask them to stay in second place, which normally is absolutely fine. However, in this situation, the government will stay in second place, but only up to the amount that you originally borrowed. So if your home has gone up in value and you're wanting to refinance and borrow more than what you originally borrowed because you want to do some renovations or whatever, you actually have a situation where you have to go back to the first lender and ask them, okay, so we're going to register the original amount in first place, but you have to be in third place behind the government for the remainder of the funds. In all likelihood, that's not going to happen, and you'll be in a situation then you're going to have to take your refinance funds to pay back that second mortgage, and then have whatever funds are left over for you to use to whatever you want to use it for. So it'll be interesting as we go forward how much of an issue this may or may not be.
So yes, so when the refinancing happens, not only is the homeowner having to pay that second mortgage, which was the original 5% part of the program, but then also the evaluation of the house, because obviously the property value has gone up or they wouldn't be able to refinance, correct?
Correct. So they're going to pay 5% of whatever the value of the property is at that time, whether they're doing the refinance or whether they're selling.
Plus the percentage of the increase in the
that's
value. Right.
Exactly.
Okay. So it sounds like a good program, but there seem to be a lot of details to keep track of to actually make sense of it.
There is. And then of course there's the qualifying as well. So if you do want to apply for this program, there's actually I have to say the government has a great website. It's called placetocallhome.ca. And it's got a lot of excellent information. It does have some calculators on there as well, because in order to qualify, there are some calculations you have to make. One of them is that the household income cannot be greater than $120,000 annually, and the mortgage cannot be more than four times whatever the household income is. So if your household income was $120,000, your maximum purchase price would be four times that, or $480,000.
Hmm. Okay. Well, that makes sense. And that sounds like a good website. Would you give us that website one more time, please?
Yes. placetocallhome.ca.
Okay.
And again, as this is a new program, there may be some changes coming. I know they made a small change this week for people living in Vancouver and Toronto, because house prices are so much higher there. They actually increased the income threshold to $150,000 and five times that income versus four times that income for the rest of the country. So we may still see some tweaks as we go forward. So the best place to start is that website and then talking to your mortgage professional.
So let's talk a little bit about your practice, because I always enjoy our interviews. You articulate some very confusing concepts very clearly for people, and I definitely appreciate that. So where are you currently working, Maury?
I'm licensed to do mortgages in all of BC, and I do mortgages right across the province of BC. Because of technology and the way that technology is has made it so easy for all of us to operate. We can really be anywhere and still fulfill our customers' needs and requirements via phone and computer.
Yes, the internet has definitely made work something that we don't usually go to and then go home. It kind of becomes our life, doesn't it?
Yeah.
For better or worse.
Exactly. Exactly. But The process is pretty straightforward.
Well, if you wouldn't mind, take us through that process, please.
Sure. So let's say someone even from out of the area would like to inquire about a mortgage. Most people will reach out with an email or a phone call and we'll have that initial conversation. So we'll have a conversation around their requirements and their needs. If it looks like it's something that's a fit for me and for them, then we can proceed with an application. The application can be filled out online, or sometimes I'll email an application, which they can print off, fill out, and scan an email back to me. all documents that we need can be scanned and emailed, or if they don't have the ability to scan it, they can take a photo and text it to me, and then I can convert it to a PDF once I have it. So technology has definitely made it so much easier for the whole process.
Yes, very much so. And so having that conversation, you go over the financial details, the application. Do people, when they come to you, do they generally know the price point that they're looking at in purchasing a home?
I would say it's about 50-50. Some people have a pretty good grasp on it before they talk to me, and then other people just aren't sure. And so that's absolutely one of the things we do is we sit down and we go through the numbers. I explain to them how the debt servicing works. In Canada, there's two ratios that the lenders look at. There's what's called your gross debt service ratio and your total debt service ratio. And so we go through those ratios and how those ratios work and break it down for them so they understand how the process evolves. And then we talk about credit and how important that is, how that comes into play. And then, of course, employment and income and how that comes into play. So there's a number of individual pieces that all have to come together in order to get the approval for the mortgage.
And do you keep statistics or do you keep numbers in terms of the approval rates that you're seeing?
I would definitely say that since the stress test has come in, that has definitely played a factor in what people can afford. And I would say more than anything, that if someone's not able to go forward, it's because they just don't qualify for the size of mortgage that they need to be able to fit into a home based on their income. So that's if we've seen a difference over the last 2 or 3 years in qualification, it's because they just can't afford it based on the stress test.
Well, we just have a small amount of time here left. Maury, would you give my listeners your contact details, please?
Sure. So it's Maury Dawson, MauryDawson. And you can call me at 250-371-7844. Or you can go to my website, and it's www.workwithmaurydawson.com. But I say to people, if you've got a question, feel free to reach out and call me or text me anytime.
That number once again?
250-371-7844.
Thank you for your time, Maury. To my listeners, thank you for your time, and we'll chat again soon.
A half-hour financial advice program, Tune Up with Deb, is produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George. Deb Ross is an accredited financial counselor with Intune Financial Solutions in Prince George. Be listening for Tune Up with Deb each week at this time. For previous shows or more information on Intune Financial Solutions, visit intunefinancial.ca.